Yes, you did. Who did set design? You did it. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I'm Jade, though.
Yes, thank you for remembering to introduce us.
How do you not know who did set design? Like, seriously? You don't want to, like, I want these flowers right here. I'm like, why? Who wants flowers right there? But, you know, whatever, because she's the nun.
Family, but a different kind of family, the PTSD, you know, always being able able to react at, you know, the littlest noise. You know, things that are survival skills over there become real big problems over here when you're trying to enter back into civilian life. And, you know, we've experienced it in our family. We've got a lot of military in the older generation, and certain things would just set them off. And, you know, they would react as if they were overseas fighting in a war. And so I was just like, I can't write that. There's no way I can write that. You know, the first rule of writing is write what you know. And I didn't know, you know, that point of view. And he's like, well, I can talk to you and you can find other people. And you've got to get this story out. And so I was like, all right, I still had zero confidence, but all right, let me do a brain dump because I really wanted to get back to that other story. And so I just dumped everything, got it all out of my head. I'm like, maybe if I dump it, then, you know, it'll be out of my head and I can go back to the other story. And that dump turned into almost 70,000 words. So I had a story. There were parts that I need to polish up and, you know, get more research from, more interviews, but it turned into this beautiful love story of healing. And, you know, for someone who reads historical mystery suspense to write an inspirational and one that, you know, was actually good, it still shocks me. It's like one of those goals that, you know, only can be accomplished when God intervenes. You know, it's like one of those, like, if you know, they say, you know, if you're not dreaming big enough, you know, it's got to be something so scary that only God can make it happen. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I think
I started writing kind of young and stupid. But anyway,
not stupidly.
No, literally, this is. Oh, hold on. Yes, merchandising first.
I was trying to read it.
Anyway, this is like how I actually got into writing in the first place. We were seven, and in our school, we wrote two books. You had to self-publish two books while you were there. Mine 7, mine 10. And our teacher gave us 45 minutes to brain dump. And I did. And when she got finished, she wrote, "This is the most inventive brain dumping I've ever read from a 7-year-old. And she'd been teaching since the 70s.
Wow. So, and it was very funny because it was literally about a dream that she had.
It was about a dream. And then I added another stuff. And she was like, and it follows a plot. And it goes through. And you almost finished it. But I could not wait to turn the next page.
That's awesome.
And so I decided then and there I was going to be a writer. Before then, I was going to be a neurosurgeon, and I was studying hard at 7. Yeah.
very,
very, very hard. Goal. But anyway, yeah, that's how things happen. You brain dump, and then you recognize you have something you never thought you would ever have. Something that everything you have planned for went the other way. But hey, this is what you've got, and you got to run with it because it's beautiful.
Well, you got to remember, too, it's everything is in God's timing and it's his way. And so we might have that vision or that dream, but we don't know how it's going to come about. And when it does come about, it's something bigger and more amazing than we could have ever imagined. You know, like I said, I don't read a lot of inspiration.
So that's an imagination ago.
Just a 7-year-old that had the imagination enough.
Right, but you didn't know how that was going to manifest. Just like I didn't when I said I'm going to write a book. It was not anything that I don't know. I couldn't have imagined it coming out the way it did and meeting all the wonderful people I met and actually getting the kind of reviews that I've been getting, you know, for a first book. You know, a lot of people are like, they don't even publish their first book. So, you know, I was an elementary school teacher. I taught 3rd grade and 4th grade and 1st grade. And so I know what kind of praise that can do to a 7-year-old, especially when it's genuine. Like it can carry them for years and years and years. And as that teacher, I bet you'll never forget her.
Nope, don't remember her name at all.
Really?
I don't remember what she looks like. What she looks like.
Okay.
He talks about that teacher all the time.
Anyway,
they know.
Oh my goodness, I do remember her. Thank you. I remember the praise. I was like, anyway, 3 years later, I published for the first time. But anyway, back to you.
So you said that post-traumatic stress syndrome had really affected your life as you saw the older generation. So how could you write about it? I mean, did you do it with tears and crying?
Well, I got a lot of stories from people I knew, and then I tried to just put myself in that. I tried to get in their heads because a lot of people don't like to talk about it. And one of the people I interviewed was You know, he told me about waking up and how in counseling, you know, when you wake up from a nightmare, you have to try to find another door because you're in a place and you have to find a door to get out of it, or you have to find a door that's going to lead you to a better place. And I know when I was young, when I had nightmares, you know, I just started thinking about the Care Bears, and the Care Bears grounded me and brought me back. Like I could imagine myself in Care a Lot down to the very last detail. And then that Care Bear stare was coming at me and I was feeling better. And it's kind of like that. You open a door, what's inside the door, and you imagine it to the very last detail. And while your mind is being distracted by imagining something better, you're letting go of the fear that you woke up with. And that was just one of the strategies that he told me about, because a lot of them will just turn to drugs and alcohol to numb themselves. And it's just so you can get through the day. And he said for a while he was functioning at a very high level with a very high level of narcotics and stuff in his body. And it just became his new normal. And then at some point he realized, you know, if I get to a point where I can't function, then I'm putting so many lives at risk. And, you know, it takes a lot to come out of that. And so I tried to convey the emotion of that in the book with some of the strategies, so I could illustrate to people who didn't know what was actually going on, to people who had family members and friends who were going through it, because talking about it is very hard. And what a lot of people, especially of the older generation, they tried to block it out completely. And so they don't want to talk about it. And by not talking about it, they're suppressing it even more. But at the same time, they're reacting, and nobody knows why they're reacting. So they might snap at the littlest thing. We have a family member who was just watching TV one night when a news thing broke in, the commercial about the Vegas shooting. And he flipped out. He couldn't handle it. He ran from the room and he duck and covered, and it was traumatic for everyone in that room. And those are things that happen all the time. And then you feel like you just can't, how can you be part of a family or friends or have a normal life when you're reacting like that to things? So I don't know. I forgot what your original question was. I just went off on a tangent.
And I understand that because we have family friends that have done the same thing. Backfire, and I have never saw an old man get on the ground so quickly.
And it's scary, especially if you're a little kid and you're witnessing this and you're like, I don't understand. And then, oh, it's nothing. You know, it's something, but they don't want to talk about it. You know, it's the same thing, you know, if you've experienced a death, as I know you have, someone very close to you, an object or a song or a littlest thing can just make you break down instantly. And it's just that reaction, and people don't understand that. So I'm hoping that with this story, it will bring understanding to those reactions.
Well,
so.
It's been great having you. And unfortunately, we're out of time. Like, we always get out of time. So you have to come back for part two. But where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me at carrieevelyn.com. You can find me at Facebook, Carrie Evelyn Author. You can find me at Twitter, at the Carrie Evelyn, and Instagram, Carrie Evelyn Author. Oh, yeah, it's been great talking to you. I can't believe it went so fast.
You literally have the record of two questions. No, she did three because we had the last one. So
yeah, you're three. Great. You made it.
Have three questions. Always, you guys. But
goodness.
It was really nice having you in the Women's Cave, and I am Jade.
And I'm Ramona.
You can always find out what the ladies are doing on andwethought.com, and you can go to the ladies page at the bottom, and Ramona. Can I please?
Oh, all right. No. You're doing it right. Go ahead. At the bottom
of the ladies' page, you'll see the charities that we proudly support. Blame Winona for me messing up. It's all her fault. And just remember, you guys, that wisdom is all around you if
you're open to finding it and accepting it. So peace and love, you guys, from Winona.